going into chapter 9. Going into chapter 9. We'll be getting into some, they call it dispensational things shortly. But I'm just going to go back and make a few comments on chapter, the end of chapter 8, before we go into 9. So, I'm going to read 38, 39, and then we'll open up in prayer. Well, you know what? Since we're going into 9, I'm going to read 9, and then I'm going to go back. So, I'm going to read verse 9 and verse, or chapter 9 and verse 1, 2, and 3. Alright, so we're going to do that and read those three verses, open in prayer, and we will begin properly. Romans 9. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you as we continue our studies in the book of Romans, in particular chapter 9, that as always, our understanding would be enlightened, that we might understand the intent and content of your word, that our understanding might increase in fruitfulness and in conviction, that it might bring forth fruit and honor to your name. We just ask these things as we go forward, and we thank you in advance for the results. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are getting into chapter 9, and Paul is beginning to discuss Israel and his sorrow for them. And his, as he said in chapter 2, his great heaviness and continual sorrow for his kinsmen. He's there, his kinsmen according to the flesh. And the natural question would be, why does he feel this way about it? And we're going to get into that. But before we do that, I'm going to go back to chapter 8, the ending of that, because I think it's connected. You know, how many times have you heard this, where maybe you've heard someone say that chapter 9, 10, and 11 is a digression, you know, where Paul is going back, disconnecting his subject matter. But I don't think it's disconnected at all, because when you get through the chapter, notice in chapter 8, when you start at verse 35, the question, where Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Question. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Was Israel, let's just say you were a member of Peter's group, more specifically called the little flock. Let's say you were a member of that group. Would you think that you were separated from the love of Christ? No. Considering the things that have happened, considering the things that have transpired.
You feel like you're the chosen ones.
You feel like you're the chosen ones? Well, when Peter was, let me go back to Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10. I don't want to spend too much time, but just to give you an insight. Now, here's Peter in Acts chapter 10, in verse And I remember reading this once in Acts chapter 11, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, praying in a trance, and saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, and it had been a great, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And then he talks about his meeting with Cornelius. But look at verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord indeed, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them, the Gentiles, the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now, I went back to that verse because my ex Blake said that they were felt that they were the chosen people. Well, all of a sudden, you find out the people that you despised, the people that you neglected, the people you rejected, the people even God rejected, you find out they're on the same level as you. How would you feel as the chosen Blake? How would you feel then?
Not very happy, probably.
You would want to know, well, wait a minute.
What's up?
What's going on here? And not only that, it wasn't even the whole nation. Peter knew that the whole nation was a chosen nation. The whole nation was to be sanctified, separated, a nation of a kingdom of priests. And all of a sudden you look up and the majority of them are in unbelief. And we know from Paul, not only they are in unbelief, but they have been set aside in their service, in their specialness, if I can use that word. So they went from being the chosen ones to the rejected ones.
They're letting the dogs in.
They said that the Gentiles were considered dogs. Now, to us now, it doesn't have the gravity that it had back then. Now, the only way you can compare that is to take a look at what's going on today. It'll give you an idea of the animosity that was felt then. Now, I don't have to elaborate on that. You can do the math on that. You know, and I will say, like now, the Asians, they feel like all of a sudden, it's Asian hate crimes are on the increase. Well, I can say a whole, I can say a lot of things about that, but I would just say this. They just got in line. I'll put it that way. They were next in line. So, you think about this. Gentiles were always despised by the Jews. They were always considered dogs, and that's because God had put them aside. So you get back to chapter 8, when Paul is ending the chapter saying, what shall separate us? And then he says in 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You can hear this section rying, cheering. Yeah, yeah. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? And you can hear him saying, tribulation? No. Distress? No. And you can see that enthusiasm more and more increasing, right? It should. 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yeah, that sounds great, doesn't it? For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that list cover? Well, let me say it this way. Does that list leave out anything?
I was about to say, what does it not cover?
That's all encompassing, isn't it?
Yes.
So you have to leave this chapter with a full conviction, like, I'm going to always have this position. I'm going to always be the winner. That's why we looked at that when we looked at 17 last week, where I was trying to give you a little snapshot into the number. I don't think it's a long shot that God used. When God uses those numbers, when he enumerates those things, they're for a reason. And 17, we looked at it, is the number for the heir, for the inheritance, for the victory. And it's tied so closely together because those things are that interrelated. And we went back and we looked at a few instances about Noah being the heir and about the ark on the 17th day. Even the ultimate victor, the ultimate heir,
rose on the 17th
Christ,
day.
How he was resurrected on what day?
17th day.
The 17th day. You say, oh, well, big deal. Well, here's the significance of that is tied into this. God is trustworthy. If he promised something, he's going to make it good. He is worthy of, we used to say this in the church. Johnny, you know this. Sharon, you know this. Like, they might say, praise God, or to God be the glory. And you say, they'll say, he's worthy to be praised. I forgot the exact phrase, but they say, praise God, he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised because of his faithfulness. That's why when we looked at 7, the number, that's his number of his promise, his oath. And he is honorable, he's trustworthy, he keeps his word. If he said you are an heir, if you have an heir inheritance, that is just as good as gold because he said it. Now, if I say it, you can question it. But God keeps his word. Now, we looked at this, and turn it over to Hebrews. We just alluded to this last week, and I told you to go back and read this, but Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the Hall of Faith. Well, that's what scholars, I guess, call it. But when you look at that chapter, it gives you a list, and I'm going to say a list of heirs who were promised an inheritance, and they never got it. You know that, right? A list of heirs that were promised an inheritance, and they never got it.
They ain't got it yet.
They haven't got it yet.
They got to replace that Old Testament with the New Testament.
Okay. Now, but he starts off in chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Would that cover things listed in chapter 8, Romans 8? The evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen?
Yeah, it's a positive response to God's revealed word.
And he said it. Now, faith is the substance,
right,
of things hoped for, of things expected. Not this way, Sharon. Not, I hope I'm going.
Confident expectation.
It's the earnest expectation that God will deliver, like Romans and where Abraham said that he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's why Paul said in Romans 8 that I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that he's able to do these things. Why? Because he's God. And he cannot lie. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. That's key right there. Now, we quote this verse all the time. In 11:6, by faith, it says, but without faith,
it is impossible.
It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, that does not mean that you write your own Christmas list up, and then you just believe that he'll do it, and he'll do it. It is faith. It's based on what God said. And the diligent search is you following him. Not according to a whim, but according to his word. Now, and he goes on to give you examples. By faith, he talked about by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah. These are heirs. H-E-I-R-S, heirs. By faith, notice this. I'm just going to read this and then we're going to get down to the other verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for a what?
Inheritance.
He did what?
Obeyed.
And he went out knowing everything.
Not knowing where he went.
Not knowing whether he went. He just believed God and he left, didn't he? God appeared to Abraham and he told Abraham to leave your family, your kindred, and
everything you know.
For he looked, 10, for he looked for what?
A city.
A city, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, just the fact that God is the builder and maker you know that it exists. And you know that it will be made and it will be built. If you're Abraham, you're right. That's to Abraham. Now, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's key. She judged him faithful who had promised. Okay. Verse 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of departing of the children of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Remember last week we looked at that verse?
Yeah, he believed in the inheritance that was promised.
Now, if you just read this, Karen, and did not know, well, let me say it this way. Before we looked at the number 17 last week, matter of fact, hold your hand right there. I'm just going to go back because a couple of people weren't with us last week. But back to Genesis. Now, this, the only reason I want to do this is because it's written. These things are, they just have a little bit of, it's like salt and pepper.
Well,
on a steak.
Isn't there a verse in the Bible that said this thing wasn't done in a corner? I mean, everything is interwoven.
And this is all we're looking at is the things that God has recorded for us.
Right.
Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written
for our
learning. Ignorance.
Our learning that through patience and comfort of the scripture we might have hope. Genesis
so
what?
We learn these things by the things that are written. We learn from these things. We learn, number one, the big lesson is this. We learn the faithfulness of God and the faith on the part of his sons and his heirs. We learn the faithfulness of God and we learn the faith that his sons have in his word. Now we don't have those type of miraculous events that happen to us. So a lot of these things, they don't hit our radar. When I say, you know what, we don't, when we go through things, you don't always get that miraculous answer, do you? You have to endure these things. But that doesn't mean that he's not faithful. That's why you go to 8 and he told you, look, you're more than a conqueror in these things. He wouldn't have listed those things if you were not going to go and get into some of them. Tribulation. As a matter of fact, he said, tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, look, when you are in the thick of it, neck deep, ear deep, in the trouble, in the tribulation, you know, we have to, a lot of times you just say like the old folks say, Lord have mercy. And guess what? He's right there. He is right there. And you know what? You can imagine this. If you're neck deep in the quicksand, in the quagmire, or as a pastor say, in the hog pen, whatever it is, you're neck deep in it, and you say, Lord, have mercy. You can just imagine, just turn to your right, And he's looking right at you and saying, I'm with you. He said, we're going to get out of this too. Yeah, I have to use that anthropomorphism, speaking as a man, so you could relate to it. Where you can look and he's right there with you. You remember the fiery furnace where they look down and he says, I see. Didn't we throw three of them in there? He said, but I see a fourth one. I see a fourth body. Who's that fella? He said, look like the Son of Man. Now look, why would Nebuchadnezzar make a statement like that? Like he knows what the Son of Man looks like. That's for you. That's for you to read and learn. To take it, what we said last week, to smoke that pipe. That's for your comfort. That in it, when you're in it, he's in it with you. He's not somewhere off, and he's certainly not deserting you. What did I say, Genesis? Genesis 47, I believe it was, where Joseph made Genesis 50. You got 50? Verse 50:23. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Maseir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware. Remember we talked about his faithfulness? To the land that he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That's his great, 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 great grandson talking. He said, that same land? He said, we're gonna get that. And God, look, he didn't do it in my father's lifetime, nor his father's lifetime, nor his father's lifetime, but I still believe he's gonna do it. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And you know what? They didn't leave him there. They didn't leave him in Egypt. He was put in a coffin in Egypt, but he had made them swear that they would take his bones with them. That's why when you get back to Hebrews, and he said, in Hebrews, we just back to Hebrews, he said, by faith Joseph did this. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of children, of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. He knew that God had promised him a land, and he was going to be resurrected in his inheritance. Now, the verse that we didn't look at was 17 years Joseph lived in Egypt. You would think, you know what? That's his inheritance right there. He was on top of Egypt with his family. They were second in command. He could have been somebody. Jenny, he could have been somebody in Egypt. They all recognized him. I think the scripture said they mourned for him 40 days. That's royalty. He was recognized in Egypt. But he told them, don't leave me here. And he did it by faith. He told them that by faith. Now, all these other men, when you look at verses 32 on down to the end, and we're not going to read that, but it was 17 people. When you total it up, 17 people. It's not by accident. He's trying to reinforce something to us about an heir, about the inheritance, and not only that, about the faithfulness of God to keep his promise. And all these, 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through works, received not the promise. Thank you. Somebody got to just check y'all, make sure y'all on the same page. They obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. And then he goes into the next verse, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses,
all right. Martyrs.
let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Just like Paul.
Yes, just like Paul.
Race.
Now, let me ask you something. What trips you up? You don't have to answer this, but what part of your tribulation trips you up? Your persecution, your despair, whatever that in Romans 8.
It's that
which
flesh,
one of those?
It's that flesh spirit. It's that flesh spirit imbalance. It's not an imbalance. I wish I was more like 90-10. Spirit, flesh, or 100% flesh, 100% spirit and no flesh. That flesh
right.
every time.
You wish you didn't have that problem,
yes,
right?
Yeah, I'll be glad when it's gone.
You know what? But this is the thing. When we looked at that in chapter 8 too. We can't use that. He just told us, let us run with patience. This is a principle. You can't just say, look at that and say, well, that's just for the Hebrews. That's a principle that we run by faith. We walk by faith, you run by faith. And faith is what keeps us on track. In Romans 8, before he gets to the no separation part and all that, he says, look, you now have the Holy Spirit there to quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in us. You can run well. You can run well. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Now, the problem is this. Is that list. It's that list we read in Romans that gets us. It's tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. It's that list that gets us. Or that 2 Corinthians list, the tribulation, the depression, despair. You got your list. You know what? It might be in your own word, your own term, but you got your list, don't you?
Sure.
Yeah. All of us got our list. Is he greater than our list?
Absolutely.
I said, is he? I heard one person. Is he greater than our list?
Yes.
I'm going to say, just shake your head up and down. That's Galatians. Galatians, he said this. 5:17. For the flesh. Go back to 16. this thy saying then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not succumb to the lust of the flesh. I said succumb, because in order for you to walk in it, you have to be defeated first. You put it this way, in order to walk in it, you have to throw in the towel.
It's volition.
You have to throw in the towel of faith first.
It's volition.
Yeah, you have to say you win.
You have to say, depression, you win. Thy will, not my will.
That's it. You have to give in. Walk. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? You take this word, you eat it, metaphorically speaking, you appropriate it, and the Spirit is there. He's waiting. He's energized off his word and gives us the victory through faith. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But, see, we stop at this, that you cannot do the things that you would, period. That's where we stop right there.
What?
We forget about the next, but, if ye be what?
Led by the Spirit,
you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, watch this. Just snuck up on you. You know how many things are in that list, Blake?
17 of them.
You counted them. That's right. Somebody, 17 things in that list. Look, Paul is saying that they who do these things, you don't have anything coming. Wait a minute now. Do you do any of those things?
Oh, sorry.
Do you do any of those things? Are you on that list anywhere?
Well, the cat knows it. You hear it.
Even the cat down the street said yes.
Yep.
Jenny's like, on. We have a cat downstairs that's yelling. That's why.
That's the witness. Look, if Jenny won't agree with it, the Lord say, "I'll make the cat witness against you." No, but this is why I say that. Well, Paul lists those 17 things, and he tells you that those people don't have an inheritance, but you do, and you do some of those things. But the difference is, you have the promise of eternal life by faith. The only difference between us and them is that we are the ones who have trusted him. Or I would say it like this: we are the upon all group. We are the upon. It has, that imputed righteousness has come upon us through faith. See, you know, Melissa, you know different than your girlfriend. Or as Pastor Stam had a track, you know better. You're just better off. Because you are an heir. And it's, you don't become an heir by works. You become an heir by faith. And it's given. It is given to you. That's why it's secure. The inheritance is secure. Because God, that, look, in hope of eternal life, that Titus said, which God, that cannot lie, promised. How'd you get eternal life? By works or by faith?
Faith.
Exactly. How can you lose eternal life?
Can't.
You sure about that?
Yep.
Because, number one, it was given to you.
Right.
And once that deal was done, it was sealed by the Holy Ghost. You don't have enough strength to undo that deal. You or anybody else you know, that's why in Romans 8, he says nothing will undo this.
Amen.
Nothing. You say, well, I backslid, whatever that means.
Right, right.
You like, you know what? You can't slide back enough.
Amen.
You know, it's if you slide back, he's right back to catch you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not going anywhere. And people who use those terms, they are in the wrong mail, using the wrong terminology. It does not apply. One more thing, Corinthians chapter 6.
First Corinthians
chapter 6. Verse 9. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Say it again.
Uh-oh.
Big butt. Big butt.
We've got his imputed righteousness.
Hallelujah.
But you are washed.
All right.
But you are sanctified.
Yes.
But you are justified. In the name, and that's not a secret formula, that's by his authority, his power. By his power, look, by his power, he washed you. By his power, he sanctified you. By his power, he justified you. With his authority, and by the Spirit of our God. Can you undo that? No. Listen, that's why he said the people, the unrighteous, will not inherit the kingdom. They don't have an inheritance. You are not the unrighteous. That is a title. That's a noun. Your noun now. What's your noun now? What's your noun name now?
Righteous.
Yeah, righteous. Anything else?
I'm a new creature.
Yeah, okay.
We're saints.
Yeah.
We're saints.
You know what?
Saints.
Saints, yes. You know your name, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like one of my Perry's wife, Marsheila, she always say your name. She would say, Saint Angie, or Saint Jenny,
yeah,
or Saint Johnny, you know, and you know, there's
Saint Frank. We can't forget our old Saint Frank, buddy.
There is truth in that.
Yep.
And nothing can undo that. That's back to Romans 8. This is the position that Paul is reinforcing as you go forward, and he gets to that verse. In 39, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
And then you look up and Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And you say, what, Paul? What's the problem? You just got off an all-time high. And he says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. He can look at it, and Paul begins to answer this question now. If this is so, Paul, what happened to them? When I say them, like Blake said, what happened to the chosen people?
They rejected the offer.
And see that if the Gentiles look up and see themselves on equal footing without the help of the chosen people, the natural question is, well, what happened to them? Number one, how did we get in here and what happened to them? How do I know that God won't do the same thing to me? But what they didn't, but Paul will address it, is this. God is not all, he's not in the collective like you're looking at it. When I say that, how many times you heard this? You ask a person, are you saved? And they might say, well, I've always been saved. I've been saved since I was a baby.
Right.
Well, that's too long. That's way too long. You have no idea what that means. Listen, I didn't know what it meant to be saved when I was a teenager. I told you about that story. My aunt, when we used to go down south, and we were all taking family trips, and they would hem up everybody in a room, one by one, and ask them, were they saved? And we'd run and hide, and one day, it was my day. And they caught me coming through the kitchen, my aunt did. She said, let me ask you something. She said, sit down right there. And I sat down, and she said, let me ask you something. She said, how's your salvation? And I'm thinking, oh boy. I said, it's good. You know what? Just the way I answered it, she told her that I don't know what I'm talking about. How's your salvation? It's good. Oh, it's great. I had no idea what that even meant.
Right.
So she know right then she was talking to a lost guy. And she said, well, let me tell you this. Just in case you don't know. And even then, I didn't understand what she was saying. But it never left my mind.
Planted that seed.
It was a whole pack of seeds. Because every time I found myself asking the question, what is salvation? What did she mean? What is salvation? And you can't shake that out of your mind. So when you talk to people, whatever the question is, whatever your
can't hear you, Frank.
Hear you.
Hello.
Now?
Yes.
Okay. That's the devil. But whatever that question is that you lay on those people, don't worry about it, because look, some people have laid questions on you. Did it leave your mind? No, those spiritual questions. I'm not talking about I'm talking about the, you know, those spiritual things that they laid them seeds on, mm-hmm, that you can't shake away. Those kind of questions. That's I remember interactions that I had with people from years ago, spiritual things, that just as fresh, you don't get rid of those things. They abide. But Paul, he responds, he says, my heart is heavy for them. Because they had the position. They were offered the position of heirs. And they rejected it.
Yes.
Now this, look, they were offered a position that you have and can't lose. They were offered it as a nation. The Lord said to Pharaoh that Israel let them go. He said, he is my son. Remember that? He's my son. Look at Exodus 17. Use this one. They were in bondage. He said, he's my... my son, my firstborn. I said 17:13. Now this is right after they are getting ready for the Passover. They're getting ready for the Passover. Remember we talked about that? About the 7 days, or keeping up 10 days, 14th day you kill it. That Passover. Start at verse six. 13:6. 7 days shall 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread no leavened bread seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Verse 15. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Now that's not the verse that I wanted. The verse that I wanted was, it actually said that that Jacob was his firstborn. And I know it's in Exodus where he actually told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let him go. Okay, well, we won't. We won't.
No, never mind.
What's that?
11:5, but it was talking about it was talking about the firstborn in the land of Egypt. You said
11. It does well. That's fine. You can look it up. That's the gist of it. But here's the point that I want, is that he called him his son, his firstborn. And he was taking him out of Egypt to the inheritance to worship and serve him. A few Sundays ago, that he called it his sanctuary. Now, these things are definitely parallel for us. Now, they got to that inheritance, and they didn't even get a chance to enjoy it. Why is that? And Paul addresses that, what happened back in Romans 9, back to Romans 9, he addresses that. You know, you're skipping a lot of history, but he says in verse 4, he says, my heart is heavy for them. I have great heaviness, continual sorrow. I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. Here you go. He says, they were sons. They were supposed to be sons. Now, that means that doesn't have the meaning that it has if we did not do the study on sons. Yes? This should run in our mind. The moment you see adoption, you know that it's sons, it's a placing as a son. You know that that had in with it some promises. And not just that, but the main thing is it was a responsibility there for them to trust him, for them to operate in faith, a fully persuaded faith that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Paul is saying, look, they had first shot at this. It pertained to them, the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Look, they had everything. Now, if you had to sum that up in a word, what were they offered? Anybody? No wrong answer.
An inheritance.
Inheritance, okay.
They were offered a guarantee.
Yeah, that was... What's that, Johnny?
I mentioned salvation.
They were heirs.
It was all theirs, wasn't it?
The promise?
Yeah, he tells you right there. Now, again, here's a list. When you see the list, count them up. Mm-hmm. Count them up. Six things. Automatically, when God created man on the sixth day, He said, what did he say about man? He's my image. He's my helper. He's working with me. Well, this is what they had. They had the opportunity to work with God, to be his image, to be his helper, to be a son. You see how these things are connected?
Right. And that scripture you're looking for is in Exodus 4, the 22nd verse. Exodus 4:22.
Okay, let's go back there. I want to read that since we got it. 4:22? Thank you. I'm glad you looked that up. I didn't want to leave it.
I know.
Yes. Okay. Let's start at verse 21. And the Lord said, Exodus 4:21, And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Now, and I'll say this, when Moses is God's instrument, the signs were the voice of God. So when every time Moses got a sign, that was like God speaking to him, saying, look, let them go. And every time he rejected it, he was rejecting the word of God. That's how his heart got hardened. Now, it works the same way with us. You can't read these things and continue to reject them and not build up a callus. Where after a while, you know, the first time it bothers you. Second time, not so much. Third time is a charm. After that, it's not even an issue.
No conscience left.
Well, I'm not saying 1, 2, 3, but I'm saying the repetitiveness of it. Where after a while, your conviction is at an all-time low. And it's not that the word of God doesn't work. It's just that we have become hardened to it because we are not looking at it like it's speaking to you. And 22, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. I like that. Moses said, look, I'm not saying this. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Again, firstborn, you automatically should think inheritance. Now, remember when let me read this. And say unto thee, and I say unto thee, let my son go, blank, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, that's a lot going on there. But now, notice this. Remember when we talked about Joseph last week? And then we're going to wrap this up. Where God gave Joseph, got from his father, a coat of many colors. And the scripture said, because he was a son of his old age. And I offered you something to consider is the reason why Joseph was not Jacob's first son. I think he was his 11th son. But it was the firstborn son from the woman that he loved. And that's why I'm going to submit that when he was 17, him being the true heir, he has this dream that all the rest of you are going to serve me. And he got that coat of many colors. We would say, you know, the coat of many pieces. Many pieces. You know, and we talked about it was like a quilt. He says, what's the big deal? You know, even now, we have lost a little significance of that. Quilts became really, really popular in Europe because they were given to royalty. Well, you wonder where they got that idea from. They got it from, yeah, look, I bet you it ain't 10 people that can tell you why that is. And the thing about quilt is this. You know, when he said coat of many colors, and just from a quilt standpoint, you know how long it takes to do a quilt? You know, another name for a quilt is, you know, they call it patchwork, needlework. And I'll say this, and this will ring a bell, handiwork.
God's handiwork.
Yeah, see, now, it is associated with a ruler, with the inheritance, with the heir, and being victorious. Is it any wonder that Joseph is a type of Christ, one of the greatest type of Christ in the scripture? Could it be that God is trying to tell you something with just the very simple number, 17, and a very simple phrase, coat of many colors? It shows us that God's plan is a cunning, crafting work of wisdom. And you can trust it. Johnny, what'd you say? Stick with the program. If you know who formed the program, you wouldn't have a problem sticking with the program. Now, let me say it like this while we close. How long you been doing this your own way? 20 years, maybe? 10, 20, 15 years, 10 years? Mm-hmm. How long you been doing it your way?
No.
Like Dr. Phil?
How's that working out for you?
Is it working out okay? Your way. Like Frank Sinatra, my way. I can tell you, my way, it did not work out. And by the grace of God, or say like Pastor Smith say, by his mercy, I got out, you know, in pieces, but it was not unmendable. But now I know, I can say, you know, like I'm like Pharaoh, now I have sinned against the Lord this time. like he did before. But, you know, it's God's grace that we're able to get out of our predicaments and can, you know what, and have grace to do it different.
Amen.
Isn't that a great thing?
It is. Yes.
And to close out with this, Paul is saying the same thing. And I'll say this to summarize it, but we'll get back to this in detail. And Paul can say, look, I'm sorry, I feel really bad for them because they did not capitalize on the opportunity to serve that they had. Now, you can say that about yourself. You can say that about your family. You can say that about friends. That you can feel really bad that we don't capitalize on the opportunity that we have to worship and serve right now. Because you know what's going to happen? You know, I think about old people say this all the time. Serve the Lord while you can. Because it's going to come a day where you're not going to be able to do this.
But you're going to be doing it after.
Yeah, that's true. But think about it.
Yeah,
where, you know, and I'm saying, listen to this, where people say there was a time where they wanted to read and could not read. A time where they wanted to sing and couldn't sing. A time where they maybe wanted to go to service and couldn't go. You know, and these things, these opportunities is a lot of times we don't think about doing it God's way until it's way too late. And you say, well, I should have been doing this a long time ago. You know, and I'm going to stop with this promise. There's a guy, and Gail knows this, it was a man in our church in Detroit, and his name was, he was a deacon, Brother Griffin. And he used to break down and cry all the time. And he would pull me to the side occasionally, and he said, you know, he said, I wish I had done this when I was your age. I wish I knew this when I was your age. And you know what? It's, I can see what he means. Because look, I'm my age, and I know what a mess I've done. I know what a, and what I know, and I can still see the mess that I made for myself, knowing things. What do you think the mess you make just from your ignorance of not knowing how to do these things? It's amazing, you know, that we don't all get out as by fire. You know, but thank, like I said, thank God for the opportunity we have to serve and the knowledge that he has equipped us with, not only of our position, but the power that we have and the privilege that we have to worship and serve today.
Amen.
And we should capitalize on those things while we can, as we can, and, you know, in your own time, your personal time. It's not being seen. It's being available to him. So we're going to stop there, pick it up at 9 next week, and going forward, maybe get down to verse 6. So let's close out in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for recording these things for our edification, for our enlightenment, for our encouragement, for our empowerment. And we just pray again at this time was for the edification of the saints and for the glory of your Son. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.